Welcome, everyone. It's 7 o'clock. I'd like to call a meeting to order. Please stand and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Conklin.
Here.
Brunch.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Page. Salomon?
Here.
Quorum present?
Mr. Page indicated that he had to be away for family business, and would that be excused?
I would make a motion that we excuse Sally. Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Moving on to the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any items or item on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item on the new business to receive full discussion. Such request will be automatically respected. We have approval of the April 23rd City Commission regular meeting minutes as presented. We have approval of the appointment of Monica Ross to the Zoning Board of Appeals to field of vacancy left by Lynn Murray for the remainder of the term to expire on September 1st, 2021. We have approval to reappoint Pat Kubisch to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a three-year term expiring on September 1st, 2022. Approval to reappoint Roger Reynolds to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a three-year term expiring on September 1st, 2022. We have approval to decline the county's offer to sell 802 East Main Street and authorize the city manager to submit the necessary paperwork with a recommendation to sell it to Northern Homes. And finally, we have approval of a purchase order contract with Conchera LLC for the purchase of a cozy dome playscape structure at Peninsula Beach in the amount not to exceed $10,745. Authorize the city manager to execute the documents. Is there any comments from the public, staff, or commissioners?
I make a motion.
Thank you.
To approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. At this time, hearing citizens' comments on any non-agenda item. I welcome our students. Thanks for coming. I know that some fellow students have been here before, and hopefully it's a good experience, but glad you're here. Correspondence. We have an invitation for the Michigan Municipal League to attend the UP Education Summit in Escanaba on June 6th and 7th. I will be out of town. I will not be able to attend that. So, any fellow commissioners, you can respond to the staff who want to attend that. And there's a good article by Sarah Lucas from the May 5th Traverse City Record Eagle concerning housing. Any comments? Any other correspondence, Mike?
Yes, we received, after the agenda went out, correspondence from State Representative Tristan Cole congratulating us with regards to the $408,450 grant that we received for the pavilion improvements. I'll pass that down at the end of the city. That'd be great.
Thank you. We'll move on to city manager's report, Mike.
I have a few items for you this evening. First, a report on our Arbor Day celebration. We gave over 400 seedlings away by 3 p.m. on April 25th, so another good distribution day for us. Our spring leaf collector program began this last Monday, May 6th, and our DPW crews will be collecting leaves on Mondays and Fridays through June 7th. City residents may also take their leaves in the yard waste to our North Point yard, and people are reminded that no plastic bags are permitted to be left there because it hampers our compost efforts. Our road maintenance projects are making good progress with the streets crushed quickly last week. Front Streets received its base coat, and the base coats for the other streets are scheduled to be installed tomorrow. The project is scheduled to be done before Memorial Day. Last week, we held a public information on the project, and those in attendance seemed pretty pleased with the work proposed. Main Street held another successful buff-up going on Saturday, May 4th, and the city is looking pretty cleaned up as well. We were advised last week that we were not successful in obtaining one of the new Category B grants from MDOT for our upcoming Cedar and Terrace Street projects. We recall we applied for a grant of $250,000. This is the first cycle of those grants. We will continue with the grant, without the grant, as originally budgeted. The project is set to begin after the 4th of July, and we will get you and the residents more details on the scheduling as that becomes available. We'll have a public information meeting for that project as well. The Michigan Economic Development Corporation has formally approved our grant for the pavilion project that I just mentioned. We got a letter from Representative Cole about, and we can now publicly talk about it. They issued a press release, and I've confirmed that. They estimate that it's going to take another 8 weeks or so to complete the required processes that they have, and that we can begin work after that. The majority of the work will take place after Labor Day, and we'll need to be putting up a sign noting the MEDC's funding during the construction. The volleyball nets are up at Peninsula Beach Park. They were installed last week. Last week, work began in earnest on improvements to Riverside Park, and they expect to be completed by the end of May. Our DPW Director Tim Foss has worked out a settlement to get the tennis courts in Rotary Park resurfaced in July or August of this year, after many cracks developed shortly after the complete restoration was done. You'll may notice, or maybe you have already, that there are different trash cans in various locations in and around the downtown and in other parts of the city. This was done in part so the very heavy concrete and stone cans could be placed in locations where they don't have to be moved as much. Usually they ended up downtown, and then you pick them up and put them away for the winter when we're doing the snow remove there. This way, this time, with them moved into permanent locations, they won't have to be moved as much or hopefully at all. I imagine that's to streamline the process for that type of work. On Saturday, DPW personnel installed both the shopper's dock and fishing pier. Those are ready to go for the season. The marina opens for its season tomorrow, May 15th. And if you happen to go by, take a look at the first fixed pier dock that we have out there, close to the lighthouse. And you'll notice how much higher the lake levels are compared to last year. Depending on which way the winds are blowing and the fetch of the lake, it actually has gone underwater a couple of times. The dock is adjustable, and we'll be having that done in the days ahead to be raised up. But they are predicting a high level of the lakes all summer.
I thought it sank. I didn't realize it was adjustable. Wow.
Yep. Also, with regards to the marina, we received a draft marina expansion permit from Eagle at the state, the old MDEQ, and that has been reviewed by Barb, our harbor master, and Abbott Marsh, our consulting engineers, and they're doing that before we sign and return it. We're still waiting to hear from the Army Corps of Engineers on their portion of the permits since Lake Michigan connects to Lake Charlevoix. We have to get permits from both of those agencies. This is basically renewals of our expansion permits that we received in the past with some minor changes. Those permits expired. These new permits would be good for the state for 5 years. As you can see, just looking out the windows or when you drove up, preparations are well underway for this weekend's 59th annual National Morel Mushroom Festival. It's our first full festival of the year, and a lot different than just a couple weeks ago when it was snow on the ground. Michigan Avenue is supposed to be fully restored by the end of this week. This is from the water main construction project that took place last fall, and that work is currently well underway. Jim Keller from our consulting engineer C2AE is coordinating with the contractor to have the restoration work reviewed before they put the hydro seeding in place. The planning commission will be busy at their meeting a week from yesterday on Monday, May 20th. They'll be considering site plan reviews for the surge center, the new outpatient surgery center, to be built at the intersection of Mall Drive and M75 in the Business Park in 75 South. The Lofts on Lake Street project, which is located at North Lake Street and State Streets, as well as a preliminary plan review regarding a possible expansion of Lakeview Village Manufactured Housing Community, just up the street here, between North Lake and Park Streets. Curb and ramp removals are scheduled to take place this coming Monday on State Street as part of MDOT's work on M75. Repaving is scheduled to start in mid-May by the Business Park, and then work its way downtown, and then north on East Street, and then eastward on State Street towards the city limits. That project is scheduled to be completed on June 21st. Our milling and resurfacing of North Lake Street, just outside of us here, between State and the main boat launch at the north end of town, is scheduled to begin this coming Monday, May 20th. The road will remain open to traffic during the construction. 1 week from today, on May 21st, in this room, we'll be holding a public information session on Public Act 210. This is a financial relief that the Lofts on Lake Street have requested with regard to their upcoming proposed project. That meeting will be held, again, in this room at 6 p.m. Mac McClellan, our consultant from Alcohol Malby, will be hosting the event. With the public hearing on Public Act scheduled to be held here at the City Commission meeting and our May 28th meeting in 2 weeks, I'm proposing that the City Commission change the time of that meeting from a noon to a 7 p.m. meeting to allow people to attend after work if they care to. So that may be something the Commission would like to consider at the agenda before the end of the meeting tonight. This is the last, and I forgot to even turn the darn thing on. This is the last scheduled meeting with our sample PA system. If you have any comments about what you liked or didn't like about it, or whether you found it helpful or needed, please let me know so we can determine what steps to take if necessary. And matter of fact, I was just emailing the consultant on that and talking about it and saying one of the issues is just getting used to turning them on and off, and there I go, I did it. So, also, this is Police Week across the country, something that's been going on since the early 1960s. And I've attached for the City Commission's consideration a proclamation that would formally recognize Police Week here in Boyne City. And we recommend its adoption, and we have Chief Hager and a couple of the officers here with us. So other than that, if there's any other questions on these or other items for the Commission, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Thank you. Any questions?
I do have one. Regarding the meeting on the 21st,
yes.
I'm wondering, we talked about that being important opportunity for us to bring in residents who might have questions or concerns, not so much about the method, but about its relationship to the Lofts project. And I'm wondering how you were planning to promote that, or how the city was planning to promote that event to try to make it appealing, or these folks would know about it, who have input at this time.
Well, we'll be doing a press release on it, assuming that the commission doesn't see any reason to change the time. We've been kind of adjusting the time to originally proposed for Wednesday, but to get better commission attendance, we look to move it up to Tuesday. So assuming there's no further feedback on that, I've sent a copy of our comments to Jim Bauman from the Chamber of Commerce to include it in the e-newsletter that would go out with everybody this week. We get a press release out to the other media outlets to make sure they're aware of it. We put it on our social media and our website as well, too.
Thank you.
Anything else, commissioners? At this time here, I'll follow through with our police officers. Could you three please come up, please? And gentlemen, City of Boyne City Week, Police Week Proclamation. Whereas from the beginning of this nation, law enforcement officers have played an important role in safeguarding the rights and freedoms which are guaranteed by the Constitution and in protecting the lives and property of our citizens. And whereas it is important that our people know and complexities, duties, and responsibilities of their police departments and the necessity for cooperating with them in maintaining law and order. And whereas it is fitting and proper that we express our gratitude for the dedicated service and courageous deeds of law enforcement officers and for the contributions they have made to the security and well-being of our community. And whereas by a joint resolution approved October 1st, 1962, the United States Congress requested President John F. Kennedy to designate May 15th of each year as Peace Officers Memorial Day in the calendar week during which such May 15th occurs as Police Week. Now, therefore, I, Mayor Tommy Hemmer, do hereby recognize May 12th through the 18th, Police Week, in honor of the police officers who night and day protect us through enforcement of our laws and service to our community. Thank you, gentlemen. Commissioners, I would ask that we support that proclamation. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And with that being said, Tim and Darcy, can you go forward? I'm going to go a little bit out of order here. This is the
I didn't sucker him into this, by the way.
Item D, National Public Works Week. On our page here. So, the background here, the theme for this year's National Public Works Week is it starts here. Community infrastructure starts with public works, including water, wastewater, stormwater, solid waste, roads, bridges, sidewalks, fleet, municipal parks and buildings. Public work services help ensure a high quality of life for our residents, businesses, and visitors. Our staff also serve as first responders to emergency supporting our police, fire, and EMS. It is my request that the City Commission adopt the attached resolution proclaiming their support for several public works professionals at the City of Boynton City that serves our community. Here's our proclamation. Whereas public works services are vital to the health, safety, and welfare of our residents, businesses, and visitors, City of Boynton City. And whereas public works service can best be provided by experienced and dedicated public works professionals. And whereas the week of May 19th to the 25th, 2019 is recognized as National Public Works Week. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Commission of the City of Boynton City does hereby express a sincere gratitude to the staff of the Public Works Department and also recognizes National Public Works Week for 2019. Thank you, gentlemen. Commissioners, support for the proclamation, please. I will make a motion that we support this proclamation.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Moving on, we have in our packets, and we have 57 pages of reading homework. In our packets is all the draft minutes from, I'll read through them, the draft minutes from the April 4th Main Street Board meeting. We have the approved minutes of the April 4th Airport Advisory Board. We have the draft minutes of the April 11th Parks and Recreation Commission. We have the draft minutes from the April 15th Planning Commission meeting. And we have the draft minutes from the April 25th Airport Advisory Board. This is to keep us commissioners informed of all of our boards. And there's comments from anybody? Commissioners? Okay. Moving on to, we don't have any old business, moving on to item 9A, new business, river jumping ordinance. Chief?
Back in October 19th, commission meeting, brought before you the diving and jumping off the boardwalk to see the issue. Officer McCall brought it up to us that there's a shelf underneath there that most of us don't know about, that doing that, you can actually become trapped underneath. We felt it necessary to come up with a ordinance to help enforce that people won't do that anymore. And at your direction, we had a draft of the ordinance. Do you need to read through it?
Sure.
Please.
Under section 3-9, jumping into the Boyne River, jumping or diving into the Boyne River from any man-made structure or any elevated height from any city or property owned by the city of Boyne City shall be prohibited. Section 1, person shall not jump or dive from any man-made structure into any body of water from any property owned by the city of Boyne City. Section number 2, a person shall not jump into the Boyne River from any elevated height from any property owned by the city of Boyne City. A person violates section 1 or 2 would be guilty of a civil infraction. And under section 4, the city manager and or his or her designee may authorize and write in permission for exemptions to section 1 and 2. There's also a state law reference of 750.493G, jumping or diving off public bridges, overpasses, which are missing here. It's our recommendation that the city commission consider holding a first reading of the proposed ordinance to prohibit jumping into the Boyne River under certain circumstances, and having staff schedule a second reading as June 25th.
Thank you. Any other, let's open up to staff, comments, and or the public? Yes, please state your name, the record.
My name is Barbara Walsham. I work part-time at Boyne Trading Company, which the back of the building is right there where you have like a table and people do jump off right there. And it is really, really dangerous. It's not a good idea at all, but people don't think about that, you know, when you're young. But it is very, very scary. We've had kids come in, you know, and then they had us call their parents and, you know, because they're not walking real good, you know, stuff like that. So I think it'd be a nice thing if maybe before schools let out, we let the schools know that there's a new, you know, kids could be fined or there is a new thing where you can't jump in the river. It would be a big help. It is pretty scary to have someone hobble into your store and then you've got other people and they're saying, they can jump off that? Yeah. So if we could pass something or if we could post a sign or maybe let the students know before they leave school at the end of the year, that not a great idea. So that would be really nice. Some of them don't know. They didn't know it was, but because I know we've gone out and said, yeah, you can't stand on that table and jump in the river. Well, they didn't know. So, but if you could do that, that might be a big help. It might prevent a serious accident from happening. You can become a paraplegic in less than 5 seconds. So, you might want to think about that a little bit.
Thank you. Yes.
Hi, Matt. Speaking on the third part, what you were saying about granting exemptions from section 1 and 2, what do you think would be a proper or approved situation where that would happen?
If there was an event in town where that was necessary, the ordinance covers jumping into any body of water from any elevated height. If there was something in the park that had, I know we've had ski jumping before, and as per this ordinance, the way it's written, they wouldn't be able to do that for part. I forget if that was, I think it was point
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Could you repeat your question? I didn't hear your question.
I asked him, the third thing he said was if they found it necessary or proper that they would give a person or a group of people exemption from sections 1 and 2 of the ordinance. And I was asking under what situation that would happen.
Thank you.
Yes.
This was brought up a while back at one of the meetings, and there was an article, some kind of information went out in the paper, and then some of the comments that are made afterwards in those forums were such as, you're going to take our youth away, you're going to take summer away from kids, you're going to take these experiences away from kids, you know, a lot of negative things came out of it. And you know, you're going to outlaw swimming and stuff, and that's not the intent at all. So I'm not going to stop anybody from swimming in the river with this ordinance. We're not going to stop anybody from jumping off the bank into the river. We're not trying to outlaw fun. We're not trying to take away kids' youth, things that, you know, that have been done for generations. We're trying to protect the city liability wise, and we're trying to protect the kids that are doing this, most importantly, so that they don't get hurt. And that's really why this is being proposed.
Thank you. Any more comments? We'll move on to commissioners. Ron, April 1st.
Well, it certainly gives our police department and also parents, they got, you know, tools to help, you know, safeguard the youth in our community. And it's, Chief just mentioned, we're not outlawing coming from the, you know, on the bank itself or swimming in the river. It's age old tradition, but it's, I think this creates an awareness that there's a problem, you know, jumping off the rails. And I've seen a kid slip one day off the boardwalk there, and it's, you know, almost went over head first into the bushes rather than the lake. So it's not a good idea. There's danger involved.
Thank you, Ron. Dean?
Just an overall comment. It's a good idea. I'm not sure that it'll prevent youth from jumping off things they shouldn't. I would imagine that through generations well past, I'm not looking in any one direction now, that other people have jumped off things that they shouldn't into the Boyne River for generations. But this gives, at least in my understanding, one more tool to at least remind kids to take that risk that it is dangerous, and one more tool to prevent it from happening again. A couple of questions, though, about the actual language of the ordinance that I think we might want to consider clarifying. One is that this title section is jumping in the Boyne River, but item number one there, a person shall not jump or drive from any, dive from any man-made structure into any body of water. So is this about the Boyne River, or is it any Boyne, any body of water? So I think we might want to clarify exactly what we mean by that. Secondly, when I first read it, I actually had to read it a couple times to kind of figure out what we're really talking about. Man-made structure, yes, but what's a man-made structure exactly? And elevated height, well, what's exactly an elevated height? And I wonder if it would benefit the language to clarify it for people in the future who are looking toward either figuring out what they can or can't do or trying to enforce, if we were to add in parentheses, such as the boardwalk, the bridges, etc. Maybe language, including these things, but not exclusively, how would you say that? In some way that we can give examples, so the most common things that we're facing are there, so somebody reads us and understands more fully exactly what that means. It doesn't have to be exhaustive, be including but not limited to, and then list the major things, which my understanding is the bridges and its boardwalk are the two biggest things, and that would give clarification and also some flexibility. The only other comment I had concerns signage. I know we have talked about possible signage, but we've been attempting to create signage that expresses regulations, that's not a whole bunch of signs around town of things you can't do. So I think it'll be important for us, if we do want to add signage to those key areas, to put it in a way that perhaps outlines the danger in the short sentence. And by the way, it's illegal, not just no jumping or diving. We're trying to, I think, keep away from having too many of those. So those are my thoughts, but I think a good idea for us that might help prevent injury and encourage people to do partake in more safer activities.
Thank you, Dean.
You? Yeah, I had the same questions that Dean raised about the elevated height signage and that sort of thing. And basically what we're trying to do, I think, is stop people from jumping between the East Street Bridge and the lake. I mean, is that basically what we're trying to do? I mean, is that where there's an elevated, I mean, I can't think of anything else, but anyway. The signage that Dean brought up is a really good idea, but I fully support doing this and think it's a great idea to do this as soon as we can before an accident does happen.
Thank you. I'm also in support, and I think those are good suggestions. My question, you might, if indeed the police department came back with tweaking some language, we could still follow through with first reading tonight.
Yes.
And whether you heed our recommendations, that's up to you guys, but at least we can proceed. So with that being said, I would entertain a motion.
I would make a motion that the City Commission approve the first reading of the proposed ordinance to prohibit jumping into the Boyne River under certain circumstances and have staff schedule a second reading at the June 25th, 2019 meeting.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunsch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Solomon?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Moving on to item D, turf fertilization contract. Yep.
Thank you, Mayor. So each year, the Public Works Department fertilizes approximately 30 acres of property throughout the community. And the contractor that has done it for many years for us dissolved its operations late last year. And the new company, when it took over, we spoke with them and they weren't interested in continuing the service with the city. They did offer up an alternative contractor to price it, which we got a price from. And then we asked one other contractor that had the capability to handle this size of an account, because it's a considerable amount of work. It's not geared towards a typical, you know, residential contractor. So we got two additional prices from those contractors. And my recommendation was to award a contract to the lower of those two contractors, Northern Green Lawn from Harbor Springs, in the amount of $15,505. For reference, that's a little bit less than what we paid last year. The difference being last year we did two applications. This year we would do three applications. So the pricing is actually a little bit better from this firm. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any comments from staff or public? Yes. State your name, please.
Barbara Malkin. I just wondered if, in considering the contracts, was there anybody local that paid city taxes or anything that applied or that put in a bid?
There was not.
Sorry to hear that. And then last year, I know there was a lot of controversy when we either sprayed fertilizer down because everybody was walking dogs and things like that. So will it be so that people have notice of it? Will there be like signs placed that fertilizer has been spread, it's not a good idea to walk your dog here today or something like that?
Yes, so the contractor will put out those signs in advance of doing the fertilization, and they will be using a low odor fertilizer, which hopefully will be appease some of the concerns that were raised last year, I understand.
Do we need the fertilizer? Do we need fertilizer?
Well, we're not answering that now. This is a recommendation for staff.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you.
I guess my answer would be yes, if our professional recommends it, then yes. Any other comments? Dean?
Just one question. This was addressed in the email a little bit earlier today. Do we have any provisions within the contract having to do with protecting water quality in Lake Charlevoix or Boyne River?
Please.
Yep. So the plan is to use a best management practice to minimize the runoff that would go into either the Boyne River or Lake Charlevoix.
Do we specify zero phosphorus fertilizer?
That's what we are using, yes. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else, Dean?
No.
Hugh?
I'm good.
Okay. Ron?
I'm good with that also.
Yeah, my question was the same as Dean's. Is it environmentally sound? That's good to know. So I would entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve a purchase order contract with the Northern Greenlawn North for the 2019 turf fertilization services in the amount not to exceed $15,505 and authorize the city manager to execute the documents.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Grunge?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Salomon?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Moving on to item C, tree removal and trimming contract recommendation.
Again, each year we remove and trim dead trees or dying trees that are in public right-of-way. We have used a contractor, a local contractor here from Boyne City called All Aspects Forestry for the past 5 years. We approached them with the list of locations that we've collected over the last roughly 12 to 18 months. And they gave us back a proposal to undertake that work based on an hourly rate, which is how they priced a number of the jobs, most recently with the city, including the cleanup that was done last year after the big windstorm in January, primarily, I think, here. So they gave us a proposal of $250 per hour, removal, $225 for trimming. The advantage of hourly is that the contractor, we can dictate, especially on the trimming, we can exactly dictate what needs to be done on the tree, so that if they had to price it on a fixed basis, they would have to estimate high, assuming that we would require them to do a lot of trimming on every tree. So we would pay an excess amount on the trimming, which is roughly half of the total cost, as you can see, based on the breakdown of the locations that we had. So these are very large trees, typically trees that are influenced or within the influence of the electric power lines, telephone and cable TV lines. The trees that Darcy and our crew from Public Works do not remove. There's quite a few additional trees that we remove ourselves, but these are the tricky, the bigger, and the ones that are up in the wires that we want a contractor to remove for us. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question.
Yes.
Tim, I didn't see any trees in the cemetery. How's that handled? Just under a separate contract?
It is. It's budgeted separately, and I think you probably have to ask Cindy specifically what is budgeted for this year.
That's okay. Just not aware of this.
Okay. Any other comments from staff or the public? Okay.
Good.
Okay.
I have a question on Silver Street. There's just directly west of the Charlevoix Street, there's a cluster of four trees, big Amaryllis, or also known as think aspen trees, they're huge. They're sitting right by the roadside there. Is this, are these the ones that are coming down? They've been marked for several years. A couple of them are dead.
I do believe that's the one that's noted on our list. And if it's not, the list is fluid because we're doing an hourly rate, so we have the ability to do some additional work. If it's not on our list, we'll get that one out.
Anyways, there's four in that cluster of trees. It's a real tight cluster. It didn't seem to me, anyways, that you could take the three and leave one there. An excellent thing to have with all the dead stuff on top of it.
Gentlemen.
I'm good.
My question, Tim, and this is really related to this bid, but so is there a replacement to also? There's a replacement process.
Yeah, there is. For the 2019-2020 budget, we have $55,000 budgeted in street trees, and that line item includes both the removals and the replacements. So if we spent all of this $25,000, that would still leave us with $30,000, a little bit more than 50% of the budget for replacements. And we do have an active list that's maintained by Pat Haver down at the front desk of replacements scheduled to be done this fall.
Thank you. I'm in support and entertain a motion.
I'd make a motion the City Commission approve purchase order contract with All Aspects Forestry for the 2019-2020 street removal and tree trimming work in an amount not to exceed $25,000 and authorize the city manager to execute the documents.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Salomon?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunge?
Aye.
Motion carried.
We did item D. Let's move on to item E.
The speaker for that is on her way right now. I just communicated with not seeing her in the audience, so I would suggest that we move on to other items and come back.
We can do that. Let's move on to item F. Contract. Are you recording this?
I think the subcommittee would be the more appropriate source.
I think so too. So.
The committee that was composed of Hugh Conklin and myself met with Mike Haynes, the manager, as per contract terms, to discuss salary increase for this year beginning May 1st. Mike requested we concur with the request for a 2.5% increase. That leads to a salary of $113,625 effective May 1st of this year. That increase is commensurate and comparable with the percentage increases that were granted this year to other city employees. And we also recommend no other changes to his compensation package this year. So that's item number one. That's our recommendation. That we do recommend that the City Commission increase the pay for City Manager Michael Kane in the amount of 2.5% for a new salary of $113,625 effective May 1st of this year. Also during the meeting, we talked about the evaluation process. Remember last fall, we had an evaluation meeting in closed session with Mike, and during that meeting, we discussed some possible refinements to the evaluation form and to the process that we would implement when this next cycle begins in fall of this year. And so Hugh and I also recommend that a committee be appointed by the mayor to work with Mike to develop those possible changes and recommend those after the action of this commission.
Very good. so noted that the evaluation process has to be agreed with parties.
That's correct. Okay, that is correct.
So, any comments? You? I serve with you. So, Ron?
It seems to me that the raise is fair, just, and well deserved. Very glad to have you.
Dave?
Well, we're the committee, we should have said it here.
Okay. Anything you?
No.
I would echo Ron's sentiments that Mike has put points in on the map with your leadership and your department heads, and I very much appreciate the work you do, and the compensation, as you said, is fair and just. So I would entertain a motion.
I move the city commission increase pay for the city manager Michael Kane in the amount of 2.5% for a new salary of $113,625, effective May 1st, 2019.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Salomon?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Wrench?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Motion carried.
And I think the second part of your recommendation doesn't need to be a motion, it just needs to be a... Okay, very good. Now we're going to stall until Michelle is here.
She's here.
Michelle! All right, very good. This is on the Evangeline Township Cooperative Trails Recreation Project update. Are you going to hit the light on?
I have to.
You have to.
Michelle Courtright, 221 Water Street and 01825 Wildwood Harbor Road. You guys remember this brochure, this campaign that we worked on this winter? Pass these around. Here's some to rest of the gang. We have achieved the goal. We were talking about purchasing 40 acres of privately owned land in Evangeline Township, which is next to the Warren Spring Forest Trail, which connects to the city-owned property in Evangeline Township. And it's mission accomplished. This is done. It closes tomorrow. It was a collaborative effort with the Walden Lake Conservancy and Trust and the Takamishin Mountain Bike Association. Evangeline Township was also a part of it. We're going to be doing signage, Charlotte Lake County Community Foundation, and many, many private donors all came together to make this happen. So tomorrow they're closing on the property, and on Monday, May 20, they are signing an agreement between Tamba and the Conservancy. Conservancy will own the land, and Tamba will build mountain bike trails, multi-use trails on the property. This has been a really good experience, and the Conservancy is talking about doing other similar projects in other areas as a result of this going so well. After the property is paid for, there will be a substantial amount of funding available for trail building. And the building will be a combination of professional and volunteer trail building, kind of working in tandem to get this done and moving quickly. Fundraising for trail building specifically will continue with the Conserve With Us until August 1st. So we'll be raising even more money for the trail building. The trails on this property have been flagged, and construction will begin the day after the user agreement has been signed. So May 21st, they'll start working on the trail. To begin with, they're going to build a one-mile loop that will connect the Boyne School Forest Trail and adjoin to the city-owned property. They'll do that very quickly. They're going to build a total of 8 miles of trail on this 40-acre piece. And as soon as we know what signage is needed, Evangeline Township will cooperate with the signage, like I said, like we have in the past. So I think soon we'll want to talk about the next steps for the 80 that the city owns in the township and what, you know, what the desire of the commission is to do in terms of the trail building on that property. This was kind of the linkage for that, so that has happened. So I don't know how we enter into that discussion, but it's something we should talk about soon. Two more quick updates. The DNR has given Tamba approval to build 3 miles of trails on property that adjoin Loop 3 of the Warren School Forest Trail. This work will also be going on this summer, and there's a potential to develop
3 more miles of trail on the DNR property for a total of about 6 miles. As you're aware, Todd is finishing up work on a half mile downhill at Avalanche that works just about done, and they're calling it Stroll the Steeps, which I think is just great, after Stroll the Streets. I'd like to read you, if I can, a testimonial we got from somebody who donated to the Erickson Road property, and I just think this captures what we've been working on here with our outdoor rec. Hugh Malling and Denise Simon from Harbor Springs, I don't know these folks, I don't know if anybody knows them. A healthy lifestyle is important to us, since our daily outdoor activity is part of that lifestyle, and we enjoy mountain biking. The Boyne School Forest Trail is a frequent destination. We're the ones on the tan. The Boyne School Forest Trail is more than just a trail. It is a destination that the community can be proud of, a destination that promotes the enjoyment of nature, learning a skill, introducing youth to a lifestyle that promotes health and well-being, and in addition, is just plain fun. We have encouraged friends and strangers to visit this trail. For us, a trip to ride always results in a visit to Walhoun Village or Boyne City for food and beverages. We applaud the efforts of Tava and the Walhoun Lake Trust and Conservancy to acquire a strategic parcel of land that expands the trails and connects them to Boyne City. We're happy to be a part of this with our contribution. We can't think of a better way to say thank you to Tava and the Conservancy than to support this initiative and invest in its future. I really like the part, of course, where they talk about coming into Boyne and having food and beverages, you know, destination. So I guess my question is, the city-owned property in Evangeline Township, next steps, action steps, what we need to do to further that conversation. Any questions I can answer?
I also had a testimony from a friend who was a skeptic and admittedly said that his observation is that every parking lot, every restaurant or pub in town, the parking lot, there's at least 2 cars or bikes on it. So our goal was to make a recreation destination in Boyne City and also to let those people spend money in Boyne City. And we're getting there.
Right.
So, and I also appreciate the cooperation between this is townships in the city and Tampa and Walden Lake, the association, I mean, it's pretty cool.
And the DNR.
Yeah, that's great. I would imagine that perhaps in the process of the next step might be the Parks Commission, but I guess I might easily on time to talk about that. So I think it's great that it attracts people from Boyne City and hopefully businesses. I sure hope the surgery center didn't decide to come here because they saw bike racks, but I think it is great for our city and a great opportunity for our residents.
Dean, didn't we talk about it with Parks and Rec last fall when they forwarded it to you, or am I mistaken?
Yeah, as I recall, that was the first, the Parks Commission looked at the proposal first before they came to us, is that correct? I don't remember.
You're at Parks. Wait, did you want to?
Yeah, my mic's not working apparently. Yes, the normal protocol of any recommendation goes to the Parks and Recreation Board. We'll want to go back and look at the action that the Park and Recreation Board took and the Commission took, make sure that we covered all the bases that were noted in those, and then depending on what the results of that are, either take it back to the Park and Rec, or we've accomplished everything that we needed to come to the City Commission.
Was there some step of evaluating the logging or what?
I believe that was that we had had some discussions earlier with the Conservancy to see, and they were expressed the possibility that they might actually do that for us as an outside source. But at that point, when we were having those initial conversations, the acquisition of this 40 acres that Michelle's reporting on today wasn't assured. I think they wanted to hold back on that, so I think it'd be revisiting with them to see if they're still willing to move forward on that. Other information some other way.
Where
they have a, does Tampa have a construction schedule when they would hold the 80 acres, what's available, the time for what they're building?
I think they would begin to flag it this summer.
Even though they're building 800 miles, you could hear that ambition?
Well, the really cool thing about the 80, if it works out, is those would be expert elite trails, which is something that we don't have here yet and would give us points toward a bronze ride center status that would complete what we need to be like Marquette, which has been a...
But it would still be available for hiking?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is not exclusive. Right. Sustainable, environmentally constructed, all that. So what's the next action step? Should I talk to Parks and Rec or...
We'll get an action plan going here.
I have a question. In regards to the 80 acres that the city owns, is there any deed restrictions that would prohibit the use of that for a parking lot or a, starting point?
No.
It could be utilized.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, then we have other properties in the vicinity that are sensitive that we have to be careful of, but we'll make sure to avoid any issues there.
Yeah, I was saying the trail edge, what I was saying about it.
Yep. And you can kind of see on the map behind you, or that was in your agenda packet, it's showing blue the proposed access drive from the west side of the property there, and where a trail edge would be established, close to the woodland section.
And the landfill is sensitive, of course, and monitored, and you could prevent it anyway.
Thank you, Michelle.
Welcome.
Moving on to the order.
Mr. Mann, do we have to change the meeting time? Make a motion to change the meeting time for the Tuesday meeting?
Yes, that would be appropriate to keep us in compliance with the Open Meetings Act. So for the meeting on May 28th, the commission is agreeable to move into the 7 p.m. time. There should be a motion to reflect that.
So moved.
Okay. Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. You want to start with anything? Anything for the order?
I'm good.
Okay. Dangerous.
Yeah, a while ago, we circulated the email announcement about Michigan and marijuana webinar series that's hosted by MSU Extension. And it looks like they are monthly, 1 hour or so webinars that are offered at a very reasonable price. And the thought was that perhaps it would be an opportunity for not only us and Planning Commission to learn more in city staff, but also there are residents of the city who are concerned about this issue one way or another and would like the opportunity to learn with us before we, perhaps later on this year, we open our discussion about marijuana facilities in the city. So anyhow, it's coming up. The first one's on May 23rd, and just wondering what the residents have thought about that as an opportunity not only for ourselves and staff, but also for other residents who may be interested in joining us.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I'm on board too. I will be out of town that first meeting, but Mike said they are recorded and I catch up on it, so no, it's a great idea.
I'm certainly offering it to the public.
Mike, you said that one price could give us more than five people, maybe?
That was the indication I got from talking to the MSU Extension folks. That we signed up as a city, posted in here, have been shown on big screens and things of that nature. People could participate at one location, so anybody that was here could attend.
Good. Okay. Anything else we do in the order, Ryan? I'm all set too. So announcements, the next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, May 28th at 7 p.m. That's when we make a motion to change from noon to 7.
Correct.
And it is 8 o'clock. say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Things I can